Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Level Up Life, where we talk with individuals who've gone through major obstacles or transitions in their lives to be a success. We're not talking about your Bill Gates type of success. We're talking about your just good living, able to feel proud about what you're doing, and just generally having a good time. So overall, today we have Diamond Allen. Diamond is a recent grad from Holy Names University. He identifies himself as a young entrepreneur who is currently navigating his way through the corporate space as he launches his career. Diamond has always been interested in money, mainly the art of selling. Love it. He has worked since he was 12 with his first job doing door-to-door sales. There you go. From there, he's worked in a number of roles, including a youth arborist, assistant manager at Shoe Place, and lead sales consultant at AT&T, just to name a few. Prior to becoming a solution consultant at DocuSign, he completed the solution engineering internship and loved every second of it. It was in the internship where Diamond was able to combine his love of business and working with individuals in this newly found role. Outside of work, his other entrepreneurial endeavors include operating his own travel agency and artist management. Well, that was
is that it? That seems like a pretty short list.
Your LinkedIn must have been nuts.
Yeah. Just to name a few.
Yeah. What do you have, like a 3-page resume or like what?
That's a nice 40-year career right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
We're excited to learn about what you've done over the last 40 years.
Divided by two.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, goodness. Diamond. Well, first of all, thank you so much for being here today. I think a lot of people here are going to be interested in your story, and I really appreciate you taking the time. But just to get a sense, you know, for our folks on like, you know, what you're doing today, I would love to hear just, you know, what's something that you're working on right now that you're excited about?
Yeah. And thank you both, Gavin and Carl, for having me. I've heard about this podcast and I've been eager to be an interviewee on here. And so thank you for actually getting me on here. Super excited. Currently, right now, just really trying to navigate what it means to work in corporate America and all of that scariness. But at the same time, one of my projects that I'm actually currently working on is specific to the artist management piece that you mentioned. I'm working with the artist that I've been developing for the past couple of years now, and we are actually releasing his first official album over the next month or two. And so that's been a lot of moving pieces and just trying to get everything in order, really trying to do something I've never done before, trying to learn a new skill, trying to tap into a new industry where it is very much you have to know somebody to kind of get in there. And so it's been fun. It's been challenging. It's been stressful at times. It's also been very rewarding. His name is Marvin Dark. He's an independent artist based out here in LA. He's been making music for about 10 years now. And I would describe his music as nostalgic yet modern R&B, so to say.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Very much giving him that feel and that vibe of someone from back in the day, but he very much does bring in that new school vibe and really sounds really nice on the mic. And I think he's just a dope artist. He does have a hit single that is currently out called Can't Save Me that is on all streaming platforms. So please feel free to go give that a listen. Otherwise, his album will be dropping late June, early July. So stay tuned for that. And you all can follow Marvin Dark on all socials. At Marvin Dark Music.
Oh, fantastic. I love that. We got our first plug, Carl.
Let's go.
Hey, we're on our way up.
Yeah.
We're doing that. Stuff. Yes.
Love it. I love it. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, Diamond, let's get into story time. So let's go back in time. I know this isn't that far away, but let's go back in time before you had the career that you have right now. And just describe a little bit more about, you know, like where you were at, like what was important to you, like what you were going through, like just get a real sense of like, you know, what made you to what you are at that point.
Woo.
Gavin, I know, it's a lot. It's
you're making me go back here. Wow. Woof. No, I'm good. Let's see. I was an inner city kid, raised in Oakland for most of my life. I'm oldest of five siblings, so I was definitely that third parent in the household. I'm always needing to step up and just kind of be that big brother or even, again, parent in some ways. As a kid, my mom did teach me at a very young age that my education and the things that I know and learn is the one thing that no one can take from me. And I really resonated with that and held that close to my heart. So at a very young age, I always loved school. I always loved learning. I always loved meeting new people. And I think those foundational things grew into this very curious, outgoing, friendly kid who, as I got older and went through school, just wanted to take advantage of every opportunity and every connection that was made available to me. So whether that was through playing sports, or that was through any leadership programs that were made available to me, just really raising my hand and trying to do anything that I could to stand out. I did kind of mention, and I kind of glossed over it, but being an inner city kid, a black and brown kid in Oakland, it has its own challenges. Just being raised in an environment where not everyone might be focusing on school or education or planning for your future. And so really trying to overcome like some of the expectations that were set for me, if you will, or even just, hey, this is what your surroundings are, and so this is what you'll amount to be. And at a young age, really wanting to go above and beyond that. And I feel like school has helped me, as well as just focusing on like working hard and, again, making the most of the connections. I think that I'm well on my way to overcoming those expectations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. My goodness. Yeah, Diamond, I mean, that's awesome. Like, just to hear, because I think one of the biggest problems that we have in the U.S. is the ability for someone to break through what is expected of them, right? Yeah. Like, your life very easily could have gone in a very different direction. I think about that about myself a lot, like where, you know, if I had made different decisions or if I hadn't stayed focused on my goals and where I wanted to be, I could have very well had a very different life. From your end, Diamond, I mean, I know that there's, you know, a lot that you probably saw in the inner city to kind of to help motivate you, I would assume, to get out of that environment itself and to like make your own mark. Does that sound right? Yeah.
I would agree with that. And it's very much, I think, something that like I think of kind of, I've heard the statement of like, you are where you come from. And when I think about that, I also think about like knowing where I come from, using that as things that I don't want to be like as well, and being able to identify like those things where I come from that I don't like. There might be some things that I do like, and I'm not trying to like bash on Oakland because it is a great city and there's a lot of great food and, you know, movements that are going on there. But let's also be very real and call out the kind of day-to-day challenges and the struggles of inner city kind of kids and living there, and just really wanting to try and be more than just, I guess, the status quo, or just more than kind of, again, what is expected of me as an inner city kid who comes from a low-income family. And that's probably where I'll be.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'd actually, I mean, you'd experienced some pretty traumatic stuff during that time as well, right? I mean, I think I recall like you'd lost a friend early on that was very pivotal in your growth, albeit, you know, no one wants that to have that happen to them or to a friend or whatnot. But I assume that probably made a big impact.
100%. I was in the eighth grade. It was New Year's Eve of 2013 going into 2014. I unfortunately lost one of my close friends from childhood. His name was Lee Weathersby III. He got gunned down, and they classified it as like mistaken identity. in Oakland, but he was essentially shot and killed while walking home from the Boys and Girls Club on New Year's Eve. And that right there, it hurts to say it. And I definitely struggle and like feel that till this day. Because it's the first time I ever lost someone really close to me. It's the first time I ever experienced loss at that level, being just a kid and trying to understand, like, wow, my life can be taken from me in a second. Wow, I hang out with Lee every day. That could have been very well me or my outcome. And when I lost Lee, I made a, I don't know if I'll call it like a mantra, but I just told myself, like, I'm going to make the most out of every opportunity that comes my way. I'm going to wake up every day that God wakes me up and live it like it's my last, because I lost a very close friend who doesn't get the chance to enjoy his life or to take advantage of opportunities. We were 13 when Lee was killed. He was a 13-year-old kid. And I think about that. I have brothers that I take care of that are his age. And it's like, dude, you're a kid just trying to figure your life out. And so when that happened, it did affect me. And again, out of that came just this drive, I think, to overcome and to realize, like, I have to make the most out of my life because life can be taken. Like,
man, that's so sobering. And at such a young age, you know, and already a difficult circumstance made even more difficult going through that loss. And that's such a mature thing to go through at such a young age. And of course, it's devastating for Lee and his family. I'm sure still struggle immensely with that. So, you know, given that situation, you started, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like you're starting now to look beyond school and beyond kind of this daily routine and thinking long-term about your life. What did you do next? Like, how did you apply that energy and that feeling to getting to where you are in your career?
When I think back to eighth grade and after Lee passed away, I just thought about the environment that I was in. And I knew that as I got older, I wanted to change that environment. And that, of course, meant the physical, yes, environment and the place that I was living, but also in the things that I was involved in, in the conversations, in the communities that I was engaging in. And so after Lee passed away, I started looking into a program that was focused on like getting lower income kids into higher performing and higher achieving schools. So the nonprofit organization called A Better Chance. And through that nonprofit, I was able to find a private school called Eastside College Prep, which is a private school for all minorities. So everyone there looked just like me. They were Black and brown kids. And for me, it was, that escape from what was going on in Oakland and trying to just focus on my life. And I know that path that I took isn't necessarily a reality or a path that everyone can take, but I think just focusing more on your future and really trying to think and be intentional about the things you're involving yourself in is one thing that I did and others can do to really try and change the trajectory of their life.
Diamond, it's so fascinating to me because as we've gone through some of these interviews, we found that there's a general theme where the individuals who were able to find success, what they did is they, you know, kind of picked themselves up. They didn't do it just on their own. Like they were able to leverage people around them. They were able to network and meet people that were willing to take a chance on them. And from like, you know, what you've talked about so far, like who were some of those, like, or you don't have to say specifically who they were, but like, you know, what were some of the big moments in your life where like, man, if I hadn't met this person, like this things might have been different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a handful of individuals that I can think of. The first individual I think of was my sixth grade teacher. Her name was actually Katie Wolf. She taught me math and science in sixth grade. And She was definitely involved in my life at a really young age and helping me to think about my future. And I remember her and the conversations we had were just around, what do you want to do in your life? What are you going to do after middle school? And like, where do you want to go? I also remember when Lee passed away, Katie kind of being there and just offering kind of more of that support and guidance around processing that loss, but also trying to help me to identify like things that I can control. And so she actually helped me get in. She was the one that introduced me to the organization, A Better Chance, which I think helped to kind of lead to those cascading events down the way. I also think about one of my RFs, residential faculties, who was at the school at Eastside while I was there. His name was Darren. He was a huge part of my life for 4 years and really all throughout high school, just helping me to stay grounded and focused and motivating me. So Eastside is a private school. It's also a boarding school. So I lived there for about 2.5, 3 years in the dorms. Prior to going there, I thought it was going to be like Zoe 101 and super fun. And I will tell you, it was vastly different from that. Looking back out on it now, I'm super grateful for the experience and the foundation that Eastside helped to instill in me. But it was definitely hard. It was hard as hell. And Darren kept me grounded and he kept me supported throughout all of that. And lastly, my partner has been a huge help in just these last couple of years of my life, just trying to navigate everything going on with my family, finishing off college and starting kind of working in corporate America. My partner has been a huge help in keeping me grounded.
You've done quite a lot throughout your career, doing a variety of different professions. And from my understanding, you did this as well, you know, while fostering children, which is, again, amazing. And you were also able to graduate from college with high marks. You were able to get an internship during that time, which I think is fantastic. But sometimes, or a lot of times, like people aren't able to convert that internship into, a real career or whatnot, or a real opportunity. What do you say? Like, what do you think helped you to get to where you're at now? Like, in terms of what, like, was it your drive? Was it your experience? Was it, you met the right people because you reached out and made it happen. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. When I think about how I got to where I'm at today and being able or working at DocuSign, there are definitely a couple of individuals that I think of. I first think of my college counselor, who's someone I met through my network at Eastside, and she helped me to learn about this internship. 2 years ago, I'd never heard of solution engineering, never thought of applying to a corporate company, never thought that I can work in tech sales at all. And she challenged me and she said, hey, I think you'll be a great candidate for this role. Here's the application if you want to apply. From there, I kind of took it upon myself to apply because we all know that saying, like a horse, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And so people can give you the opportunities all day, but at the end of it, it's you that actually has to take that action or those steps to make it turn into what you want or to bring it to fruition. And so I give credit to my network. I also think about just wanting to continue learning and wanting to continue just achieving things in my life. When I finished college, I honestly got a business degree. I knew I wanted to do something in business, but I literally did not expect that I would work in a corporate company at all. I didn't know anyone really that did before that. I didn't know how to get in there. And I also thought that's typically not what someone who looks like me would do. And so some of those are my own giants that I'm creating for myself. Others are those expectations, as I mentioned earlier, that others have put on me. But thinking again about your network and your experience, leveraging those as much as possible and just pushing yourself to getting to the places that you want to be in your life. I think as humans, we all are our own, is it best critic or worst critic? We're just
worst
our biggest
critic. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all our own worst critic for sure.
Yep. You're just getting on yourself. And I think we also give ourselves, we set limits to what we can do as well in our own lives around like, I'm not going to be able to do that or I can't. And shifting that mindset from like, I have to do this to rather I get to do this. And there's an opportunity, there's a blessing that can come from every experience that you get to come across. And so just shifting that mindset, I think, to being a go-getter and being proactive in things.
You know, Gavin, you mentioned fostering of the children. I'd actually love to touch on that for a second. So how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 22.
So you're 22 years old and you're raising some children right now. How many children are you raising? And tell us about how that kind of came to be.
Yeah. So currently I'm raising three kids. They are my three siblings. I have a total of four siblings. Unfortunately, about 2 years ago, my siblings were removed by CPS. And I and my partner ended up stepping up and, you know, taking my siblings into our care.
Wow.
I have a total of four siblings, two boys and two girls. Jesus, who's 15, Elijah, who's 13, Genesis, who's 11, and Zion, who's 9. We've taken care of four of them for the past 2 years. About 2 months ago, Jesus ended up moving with his auntie to be closer to his dad. So just moved back to the Bay, but I still have my three siblings. And it's been a journey. I will tell you, it has not been easy by no
means.
Wow. Yeah, man. Like, how do you balance both? Like, how do you, I mean, between like jumping on meetings and making lunches, like, what do you, like, how do you balance that?
Yeah, I will say them being my siblings does help a little, but also them being a little older, they're not babies. So like, it's not changing diapers. Like when we got Zion, she was 7. Okay. So she was a little older. But it's just trying to have a schedule, trying to have a routine. These kids, they honestly, like, they are so strong and they've been through so much in their life. And the way they just get up and like continue smiling and, you know, being happy every day, it keeps me going. And it keeps me like, I have to make sure that I'm doing the things I need to make sure these kids are good, because they didn't ask to go through any of this in their life. And so we have a routine. These kids follow it very religiously and like they're on it. And I think also just they're very aware of the things we're going through, and they like, this is, again, they're my family, they're my biological siblings. And so like, we're able to have a lot more of those candid conversations about things and what's going on. And they know that our focus is getting them to 18 so that they can get into college and they can take care of themselves in life. And everything up until that point, that means doing whatever we have to do to get them there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you are without doubt the most self-sufficient 22-year-old I think I've ever met. And props to you for like stepping up and doing that for your family. That's just seriously, it's really cool of you to do. And
it's thoroughly impressive. Like what you've been able to accomplish so far at such a young age. And
well, Gavin, imagine you're 20 years old and then I would be 14 at that point, and you would raise me. You and Chelsea would raise me.
Yeah. No, when I was that age, I was in jail. Pretty often. Yeah. No, it definitely not.
Yeah. It definitely isn't something that I take lightly, and I definitely recognize like it's a lot. It's a lot to take on. It's raising four, three little people now and trying to teach them how to be the best individuals they can. It does suck at times. It's like we don't necessarily have our mom in our life right now, or their dad isn't the most present in their life. And of course, like, my goal is to get them to 18 to like get into college, but I also would love to reunify my siblings with their mom or with our mom or their dad and whatever that looks like. And so I just feel like where my partner and I, like, we're doing, I call it God's work. We're doing the, like, just being here for these kids in the time that they need it. Cause they don't really have no one else. And it's unfortunate. Our mom is going through some struggles. Their dad, unfortunately, is not able to be there right now. And so just trying to stand in proxy for them. And again, I don't know, that's the older brother in me. That's just like, they're my siblings. This is kind of my responsibility. And I just, all the things that I've been through in my life and the things that I've overcome and recognizing like my head screwed on just enough, I would feel like shit if I sat here in this chair and knew my siblings were in the system and I did nothing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
That's where it's like, no, if God's giving me the ability, if I have a job, if I have, you know, somewhere to live, if I can provide for these kids, I'm going to do that because they don't have no options.
You know, honestly, the next time I come into a difficult situation, I'm going to say, what would Diamond do?
WWPD.
Yeah. Goodness. Well, Diamond, this has been a fantastic interview and story and like really getting to know you better. And I think if I could summarize some of the main points that you made, and then, you know, include anything that you think I'm missing here. But the main messages that we can really say for our audience is never give up. Good times, just as the bad times, they will pass. And so you need to be prepared for that. Other one is reference your network, reference your connections, go out and meet people, put yourself out there, because you never know. It only really takes one person to help connect you or make that bridge to an opportunity. And so it's as helpful as possible to meet with those many people. And then finally, like, just, you know, be a good person and be kind, be forthright, like, be truthful, like, just, you know, really do your best to be Renaissance man is not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I mean, right? Like, just like an upstanding individual, like, just do your best to be a good person. Like, would you say, I mean, is that the message that, you know, our folks think could take home and like, is your main items, or is there anything you'd add?
Yeah. No, you summarized it great. The one thing that I would add, it's just that mindset shift. Again, I think a lot of times when we think about the things that we have to do, it's that beginning of the sentence, I have to do this. Like, even this, if I looked at it as like, I have to do this interview, or I have to get on this camera and talk about my life, versus I get to do this, I get to help other people, I get to share my story. And so really just shifting that mindset from the things you have to do, whether it's I have to get up and go to work, I have to go to the gym, I have to finish school, and changing that to I get to, and looking at the blessings and what can come from that.
I love that.
Yeah. And I would say one of my biggest takeaways here is how you are in a less than optimal situation, and you gathered a vision for yourself on how you could be beyond what was expected of you, and to take yourself there. I find super moving.
Yeah, you remember when we were kids and they're like, oh, goals are important. It's important to have goals. And you get a little older, you're like, whatever. Yeah, goals are stupid, whatever. But it's true. Like, long-term goals are incredibly important. And I think it's incredibly important to have that mindset, Diamond, that you'd mentioned of, I get to do this. I am, because you can very much easily think of the alternative of like where things could be. So that's fantastic, man. Fantastic.
That's great, man. Well, Diamond, thanks again for joining us. We've appreciated having you, and let's keep in touch.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Yeah.